throw balls far. You want good words? Data languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Darn it. Good morning. Tuesday morning. You know, you hate that.
Ain't that the way?
Or you're just about ready to fire off, and then all of a sudden, you got to turn and cough. Kind of like you're
when I did tradio,
physical
when
in I high did, school.
I don't think that's anything like that.
It's what it felt like.
What? No.
The coughing anyway.
No, it did not feel like
I'm
that.
I'm not sure what Jared was doing underneath the table. But
no,
hey, whatever.
No, whoa. That's it. Hey, I'm done.
What a good start to a
That was a record timing of being inappropriate.
What a good start to a Paul Jones Tuesday. Right here on the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Man, we got all kinds of stuff to talk about. There is a starting quarterback in Carolina. One, Baker Mayfield will get the start, as most people probably expected. Also, did you see the list yesterday? So ESPN kind of ranked the NFL starting quarterbacks in 12 different categories.
Mm-mm.
And it got me to thinking, okay, if you could build, like, the perfect quarterback, like, what of, you know, what of each guy? I guess it's top, the top 10 and 12 skills. So how would you, create the perfect quarterback? We don't have to use all of these. I mean, I'm thinking more like arm strength, accuracy, decision making,
intelligence.
Yeah, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Meaning football knowledge, not calling anyone dumb.
Yeah, I would say that's decision making and then and field vision kind of all put into one.
Right.
So how would you do that if you could make the perfect quarterback? We'll talk about that toward the end of the show. 24 tiers of college football teams just released today. And that's just for this year. It's not like a program list. It's a this year's team list. I want to know how many tiers down you think we can go to still have someone in that tier that has a legitimate shot at the playoff. A huge win right down the street from us yesterday with Elkett softball over Tuttle. Now the hard part comes. What is that? We'll tell you. Give a little shout out to the Elk City administration. Something's happening that I don't know if anybody really thought about at the time. When the debate raged as to turfing fields for baseball and softball, something's happening that I don't think was planned or don't think was thought about at the time.
I think I know where you're going with
that's
this.
That's happening, and kudos to the administration for allowing that to happen. And also, have we turned the clock back to like 2003 and I didn't know it? Because something is happening in one of the sports that it feels like this is 20 years ago. And I'll tell you what that is as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listing area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download a Paragon Communications app. The app has it all. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. A brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight at thepennynews.com. So rush out. There's still copies, still print copies around your area of this week's Penny News before it changes over tomorrow afternoon and into Thursday with a brand new fresh off the press edition. We've also got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV in our app. What does that mean? Well, you can listen, you can do all that stuff, and also watch live stream of high school athletic events. And it just so turns out that we've got two football games coming up on Friday, with Elk City hosting Altus Merritt on the road at Hinton. Rumor has it, Jared, rumor has it around these parts that the owner has come out of retirement.
Oh, yes.
To participate with the broadcast of Merritt football.
I've heard this rumor.
I believe it's going to be.
Would it make you nervous or something?
No. Just wanting everybody.
He's going to be so good. And go, man.
Yeah.
We need that guy on Big Elk TV. Make you nervous?
No.
I'm kind of putting you in a corner here. No, it should be good. Now, does he have help?
Yeah, I think Travis. I think it's Blake and Travis.
Okay, so you're telling me I need to make some kind of a bleep button. Kidding.
I have a question about that that would alleviate your fears, but I'll ask you off the air.
Okay.
Because maybe not. But
no, they start Friday, too. You're right.
They do start Friday.
Against
Hinton.
Hinton, that's right.
And Comets.
Tough one.
And Comets in the top 10 of preseason rankings.
That'll be a toughie.
Have you found the AP rankings yet? Have you found any AP preseason rankings?
I have not.
I literally just thought about that, so I hadn't looked either.
I have not seen that. I'll have to look it up.
Anyhow, Big Elks, Merritt, both playing, and you can download that app and watch both games through the Paragon Communications free app, free to watch, unlike some are saying, free to watch, no matter what, on Big Elk TV and Paragon
TV.
Hey!
Ask and you shall receive. I just found one.
Oh, that a baby. Hey, we'll get to it.
Okay.
We'll get to it in a second. Also, Skinny on Sports Podcast, available on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you miss one of our shows entirely, which I know we were told already today that our resident Washington Redskin, our Commander fan.
Cobra Commanders. As he called them.
He is,
which is funny.
He's going to have to come back and listen to the podcast because he is doing a civic duty, working the runoff election.
Oh,
so there you have it.
Would you rather?
By the way, get out and vote today.
Big bond issue. Today.
Big bond issue. Mr. Sparks was coach at one time, but now he's Mr.
I bet he'll go by coach.
Mr. Sparks was in here a couple of weeks ago, superintendent of schools of Elk City for that the bond issue with the buses, and he explained how dire straits it was with the buses that are currently transporting kids. It's not just athletic buses. It's the route buses. So go out and get out and vote on that bond issue. Now, did I explain what?
Sorry.
I thought you said, did you explain something?
No, I was, you said civic duty, and I immediately thought of jury duty. You ever served on the jury?
I have not.
I've never even been summoned.
I haven't either.
Guess I'm not worthy enough.
Probably should have knocked on wood on that one.
In a weird way, I'd kind of like to see how that's done. I mean, I've sat through a jury selection, but I'm just curious.
I had a buddy that was on a jury in Custer County of a murder trial.
Oh man,
in Clinton.
Man, now and that's probably one I wouldn't want to be.
Yeah, me neither. And he got to be the foreman. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
He said it was a little bit uncomfortable standing up and reading off a verdict that.
Foreman, have you found a verdict?
Yeah.
We have, Your Honor.
Yeah. He said it was cut and dried. No, there was no questions whatsoever.
Oh, sure.
But he said it's still kind of uncomfortable to be the guy.
He's looking right at that you. That had to report. Read his fate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then when you go back for sentencing, they like use your name.
Oh,
not good, man. I'm out.
Nope.
If I can be.
Nope.
That's when you say, I know this man.
I know exactly how I would get off jury duty if
how?
I were. They ask you, what do you do? It's like, I report the news.
You think that would work?
I think it would.
See, in Beckham County.
But others might say, well, no, then you're really informed. Then you need to sit on this jury.
Maybe so.
Maybe it wouldn't work.
Maybe because as a newsman, you got to be right down the middle.
Which I always try to be.
You'd be the most unbiased juror on there.
Which I try to be, despite the efforts of some people who call me and tell me I'm not.
Depending on who the judge was, I feel very comfortable I could get off of the jury. Both of us could. If Michelle was the judge.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That would be
Hey, Shelly, we got some dirt on your husband here. We're going to need to get off.
Here we go. Here's a good one. Tell them you're hard of hearing.
Which I kind of am. I wear headphones every day.
The last thing either lawyer wants is to really be pounding away with the questions. And out of the jury box, you hear, think you can speak up a little? Hey, Sonny, can you talk into the microphone?
Oh, which is a pet peeve of mine everywhere I go. When there's a mic and no one's talking into it.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I go to certain city commissioners' meetings. They're over here talking about whatever's going on. And I'm like, speak in the mic!
Can you see, like, right in the middle of the very last scene of a few Good Men? If the judge, because really, I guess there was a jury.
Yeah.
If one of the jurors stood up and said, hey, can you ask him again? Did you order the code? Was it the blue code? The code blue? Could you re-ask that one? I don't know.
Listen, if you're on that jury and you could not hear Jack Nicholson's lines and yelling the way he did in that scene, then you definitely are hard of hearing. You definitely need to get some hearing aids.
I hear you walk in and immediately say, yep, that guy's guilty. I think that's – well, here's the problem, though. Depending on how many people do that, you might – the prosecution's not going to kick you off.
No.
So they each get like six.
Yeah, they're going
to – at least that's the way it is in the movies.
Yep.
So what if you're the seventh one to say that? Then you're definitely in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cue the mistrial.
I've covered a jury selection, which, listen, that is not newsworthy. I'll just say that right now. It's boring.
I think it would be interesting.
The news starts when the witnesses hit the stand, in my opinion. Not even the opening statements. When the witnesses start to give their testimony,
right,
then I think that's when the news starts of a high profile trial. But I've sat through a jury selection. Holy moly, that's boring. You think it'd be interesting. They ask, and I get it, the lawyers ask questions, they're looking for angles, they're looking for attributes to a potential juror, traits, etc. Man, there was one individual, you asked him a question and he gave you a 10-minute answer on every one. And by the time that, about the third time that happened, the whole courtroom would go, and their shoulders would slump. And go, oh, this guy. Oh, no.
Quit asking this guy questions.
Oh, please dismiss him. Please let him go.
Maybe he thought he was the lawyer and not the juror.
He thought he was actually trying to be smarter than the lawyer.
Yeah.
The way he, well, let me tell you about that time. And he was kind of an older gentleman, and it was just, oh. And then they had the break for lunch, and we came back. Anyways, jury selection is a long and tedious process, especially when it is a high-profile case or trial, in my opinion, because they got to get it right.
Let me ask you this, because I probably wouldn't disagree with you as far as when the trial starts, but don't we think there was a seminal moment in this country's history when that became a thing? I mean, I know it was always a thing for the lawyers on each side as far as picking what they think is the right jury. Don't we think there was one, or at least I do, I think there was one moment in this country's history where picking the jury became kind of front and center to the country?
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
OJ.
100%.
OJ.
100%. I don't think a majority of the public even knew how those 12 people got there until OJ.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the importance to each side. And there was obviously a huge racial component at the time of OJ in L.A., coming off of the Rodney King, coming off of the riots and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's when people kind of started to become aware of what that was. But anyhow.
Yeah.
How did we get there? I have no idea.
I don't know.
No. Anyway, so here in the next 2 weeks when we both get a summons to go be on the jury, I'm blaming you asking.
Someone just wrote our names down.
For asking if we had
someone
to do
it. Someone is licking the envelope right now.
guilty. Or, huh? That's the way to get out of there. All right, a huge win for Elkett softball last night with Tuttle in town. District game. Tuttle and Cash were tied for the district lead heading into the game last night at 2-0. It's obviously still early on in district play, but the Elk City Elkettes knock off the Tuttle Tigers by a score of 5-3 to run the record to 13-2 overall, now 2-0 in district play. It was a game that Tuttle's jumped out early with the lead. The Elkettes fought back and then scored two runs in the sixth to cap off a 5-3 win. Aubrey Pogue went the entire way on the hill, in the circle. Seven innings, allowed three runs, seven hits, struck out five. The Elkettes were able to muster 11 hits. Ella Satilli was 3-for-4 at the plate. Other players with multiple hits, Jada Kimball and Riley Wyatt. So the Elkettes win 5-3. And, man, what an awesome win. It's a game that you and I have been kind of circling on the calendar as far as an early season litmus test to see exactly how good Elk City is. Tuttle's one of those teams that you know you're going to see down the line in Class 4A. So a big win early on in the season for the Elkettes.
Crowd was awesome. I was able to walk in about midway through that game and going to other games, and I was looking over. I mean, there was not a seat on the Elk City side, and it wrapped around behind home plate. Just a completely awesome crowd. And then I'm warming up my girls, but every time I heard that crowd roar, I was fortunate enough to be at an angle where I could look at that nice new scoreboard and see what the score was. And part of me wanted to run over there and find out what's going on. But that's awesome. And you're right, we circled that one. You know, there's a lot of expectations about this team going into the season. They're living up to it. And that was a big key district win. What's that?
Keep going.
And but you know, they got to keep it going. You can't just this was not the state title. This was the, okay, we know this is a top 5, maybe top 3 team in 4A. Keep it going, cuz you got to, it's a tough district. Weatherford looms. They're going to be a good team too. And that's on the road. So you got your tough team at home. You took care of them. Now go on the road. Do it again. Keep it going. And, you know, the ultimate goal is at the end of the season. But that was a great win last night. It proved to us what we kind of already thought was, this is a really good team. And good job, crowd, showing up.
Yeah. I saw some videos, too. I hated that we were on the other side, baseball side.
Yeah.
There at 5:30. Yeah, Tuttle's first district loss in 5 years.
That is awesome. That is a man. Kind of lost for words on that one. That is awesome.
And almost ruined your thought.
No, that is incredible.
Up and down the lineup, you see in the box score, everybody made a difference throughout the Elkettes lineup, and it's just a total team win. Don't let this be the highlight, I guess, is kind of your point.
Yeah, don't. I mean, it's nice. Enjoy it. But you got to turn around and play Anadarko today.
Isn't it interesting how much this softball season is starting to mirror last spring's baseball season?
Yeah.
In that, what was the win that, you know, it was beating Tuttle at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Right before the districts or the bi-district, whatever, the district, I guess, for the Big Elks. It's like, wait a minute. Well, you know, then you get the, they're not playing anybody. You know, they got senior night, and some guys didn't play, whatever. But that was kind of the precursor to, wait a minute. Big Elk's pretty good, aren't they? Like, holy cow, this could be a state tournament team. And I think that's what last night could be when we look back. But you're right, Anadarko today, Thursday at Weatherford, and then next week, back-to-back days. Which would be Wednesday and Thursday? Would that be right? No, it'd be Tuesday and Thursday. I'm sorry. It's 31 days in August. Cash at home at Tuttle.
And they could go back, yeah.
And then at Cash the following Tuesday. So you've got to, even though that win and how impressive it was, and there's no doubt that it was, but you look over the next six, you've got Cash twice, you're at Tuttle, you're at Weatherford. This stretch, if you count that game last night even, five of the next seven, is going to decide the fate of at least the Elkettes as it pertains to a district title. You fly through there with that win last night, and if you can win, what, three of those four? Four of those five district games? I guess four of those five? Man, you're going to be in great shape to be able to really be in the hunt for a district title. If you could sweep them all, then, gosh, you put two losses on everybody but Weatherford, and then if Weatherford beats everybody else, the 15th of September becomes basically a district championship game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's looking way ahead, obviously. But last night, as awesome as it was, now it just sets you up to play another big game and another big game and another big game. And that's the difference between the good ones and the great ones. The great ones keep on winning, the you know, as it goes. Continue to play in big games and continue to win big games. But a really good accomplishment for the Elkett softball team last night.
Now here comes the coach speak. Now you got the target on your back if you're Elk City. And how they handle that, too. You know, they're now everybody's circled Elk City on their schedule. Everybody like in a dark code today, Weatherford, Cash, all those you mentioned. So let's see how they handle that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether you look at Weatherford,
that was a statement win last night. You got everybody's attention now.
That's right. Weatherford 9-2. They're 1-1 in district. Their loss was to Tuttle. They didn't get to play last night because the fields were wet. They were supposed to play Clinton. Fields were wet. They weren't able to play. Which brings us to our next topic, by the way. Congratulations, Coach Murray, though. Seriously.
Yes.
And the girls. That's a great win. Something that hadn't been done in 5 years. But now
it's great.
And now the hard part starts, and that's continuing to do it. What about – okay, I mentioned this in the opener. When the debate about the fields, the turfing of the fields and all that was raging on.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened, and I don't think there's any doubt – that when you look back at it, what a great choice. But something I didn't think about, and I wonder if the people, I don't remember this being a topic, but yesterday, when you look up, you see, what's going on at the Rock Park? What's going on at Ackley?
Right. Oh, yeah.
What's going on there? And then multiple buses in the parking lot on the softball side when all the Kids Inc. kids are getting there to play softball and baseball.
Yeah.
And you're like, I mean, I actually had somebody ask me, is Tuttle bringing kids to play out here? And I'm like, and I knew, you know, obviously they were there for that game. It's like, no, it's just they brought their high school. Well, what are all those other buses doing? Playing on the turf. What a did you ever think about that being something when that was happening? Other high schools, if they're rained out, being able to utilize those fields?
Maybe not exactly like that, but I had the idea in my head of having these turf facilities, having more events that would bring more schools here. But to have direct regular season games, no, I don't think I really thought of it like that. But I knew in some form or capacity that bringing turf to those fields, to the complexes, to Ackley, it was going to be an injection of money into this community.
Oh, sure.
Because here's a fine example. Between games I had last night, that's where I usually have my dinner. I go get my Frito chili pie with jalapenos. And I was lucky they had some left, but I was getting my kid a hot dog. And oh, sorry, we're out of hot dogs. The only thing we have left is this, this, and this.
Right.
I mean, they're running out of food because there were so many people there from all over. We had, what, Saren Hobart over there?
Yeah, Canute.
Playing.
Did Canute High School play Canute, there?
High school baseball.
I think Canute softball played, too, earlier in the day.
Did they earlier? I'm not sure about that, but that's awesome. So, yeah,
I think game started at noon.
I knew that, in some way, that building the turf, installing the turf the city's going to get paid back for it, basically. In far as the sales tax revenue is concerned. But it makes sense. I mean, you got communities
like
Canute, like Sayre, like, mm-hmm. you know, and then all around. And this is a hub community, Elk City is. I mean, we're fine examples. I live in Canute. I work here, and I spend a lot of money in this town. We play in this town, and we shop in this town, and it makes so much sense.
Yeah, and, you know,
I'm just
at
mad
first
I'm mad I had the parkway out there and walk.
Yeah. At first, I was, I guess, at the end of the, I mean, I don't know how much the administration at the school has anything to do with that. I'm sure Ackley Park is different on the baseball side.
Yeah.
I do think that's different than, you know, the fiveplex. But, you know, that's still, I'm sure they're involved in the decision in some way, shape, or form. So, but everybody involved, kudos to that, to get that done. Because there's, you know, you look around and the rest, you know, a lot of people didn't get to play yesterday because of where they're at. And Jeremy makes a good point. A lot of those kids from those other towns, it's where they grew up. Now, grew up playing out there already, you know, playing on those fields. You know, a lot of those girls in high school, that's all they did in the summer was play right there on those fields.
It's funny you say that. My kid has played more games on that field than our home field.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I know we don't have a league like this, and it's a great league out here. But, yeah, that is true. Now, I wonder, you know, because of the facilities, and we've pushed this, it was over a year ago when rain caused some problems in OK Kids tournaments, and here's Elk City sitting there with the dry field and nobody on it. And I wonder, you know, would the OSSA go, okay, I know Elk City has that facility over there, let's have small school this over there. You know what I mean? We've always wondered about that, about the Pioneer Center, and it just hasn't happened as much as we thought it could.
You know, it's interesting you ask that because during that however many hour delay before that semifinal baseball game that the Elks played against Tuttle,
right?
Those things were talked about. You know, Tuttle was way closer with the same deal.
With the turf?
With
yeah.
the turf.
Yeah.
But in that situation, you can't play on their home field.
No.
But that doesn't mean that somebody else can't.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and
Canute's taken advantage of that with their baseball.
Oh, sure.
Plenty of times.
And listen, when it's that situation where you're playing in the semifinals of a state tournament, people, let's say you're supposed to play at Dolisie, and it's rained out.
Yeah.
People would be willing to drive an hour and a half to get that game played. Parents, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. and kids. Mm-hmm. You know, the everything that goes into it. If you're ready for it, who knows? But as far as just getting the games played, people are more than willing to jump through just about any hoops possible.
Okay, let me tread lightly on this next topic because it's a touchy topic. It is election day, and there's an important bond issue happening regarding the schools and transportation. It's a need, not a want. Got to keep our kids safe and all that. Please go vote. So with that in mind, now these turf heavily city funded because they are city property. What about the football field? One day gets turfed. Think about how this topic started about injecting money into programs like mm-hmm. that, into facilities like that. The return could be great. Could you see? I've always wondered this about Clinton. As we got a Clinton guy texting us. And when they turfed up their field, I wondered, would the OSSA ever ask them, hey, can we have an 8-man semifinal game here? Or a small school semifinal game here? You guys are over there in the city playing whoever. Can we do that here? I wondered about that here. Improve the facilities. You get more stuff like that. I've even heard of Texas schools playing in Oklahoma because they could meet geographically halfway. I remember where that was.
I mean,
but
sure.
You see what I'm saying?
You could see Munster and Booker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just kind of where they're at. Heck yeah. Yeah, Canadian and Munster or something like that.
Right.
Or Vernon or, you know, what? Just where it's, you know, an hour and a half away and it's right here.
I think like this, like Laverne and Tipton?
Is yeah.
Tipton 8-man? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're same class.
They have been.
You see what I'm saying? Like, okay, you know, semifinal, put them in Elk.
Sure. Oh, I think it makes 100% sense. And because it never snows here. It does up there. A lot of times I need somewhere.
I know Sunday was an anomaly, but sometimes it never rains here.
Yeah, but that's another beauty of it.
But if it does.
As long as it's not lightning, go ahead.
I'll never forget going out one day to play some softball, and it's just light sprinkles. And some parents are like, why are we playing? Why are we out here? And I said, it's not lightning.
Yeah, and it's not really getting wet.
It's a turf field. We're not getting muddy, and there's no lightning. They're going to play.
Exactly right. Hey, it's Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner down there at Paul Jones Drug at 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust, most experienced and oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing, and vaccinations. That's Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main here in Elk City. We'll tell you all about them throughout the show when we come up. Hey, let's hit that AP high school football poll. Billy's in preseason form on the text line.
Huh.
His red tornado showing through. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
You can't say on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Been hitting a bunch of high school stuff here at the open of the show. We'll continue that. You have pulled up the AP, what is it, top 10? In each class?
Some top five because of the like division 6A division 1, 6A division 2. We'll start as high as we can of interest is class 5A. Who do you think's number 1 in 5A?
Carl Albert.
The Carl Albert Titans, who Elk City gets. I'll go down to 4A. Interesting, I think. This is AP poll, not coaches poll. This is very similar to like the college polls. You got the two coaches, you know, we had the preseason the coaches pick for the district via the Oklahoman wasn't necessarily a top 10, but this is AP based on AP voters. Wish we can get in on that. Tuttle number 1, Clinton number 2, Poto number 3, Cushing 4, Wagner 5. Elk City comes in at number 10.
In this one.
Yes.
Okay, so I've as you were doing this and talking about one of the non-district opponents of the Elks, I went ahead and found the 2022 preseason Texas high school football rankings. If you were wondering,
and
class 3A division 2, number 1 is Gunter, number 2 Canadian.
Oh my goodness.
So it's not just us making this up, folks.
What a gauntlet these of games the Big Elks are going to endure.
So the Elks will go number 2 in 3A division 2 in Texas, number 1 in 5A here, and number 2 in 4A. Whew. All in a row. But 1 week off.
If the poll extended in 4A, Weatherford would be 11. They receive votes, followed by.
Oh, by the way, rumors of C.J. Nixon's football demise were grossly overstated.
Ah.
I watched some Altus film yesterday to try to get an idea of who plays.
He's playing.
And he was out there.
Very good.
Unless Weatherford has another 6'6" totally athletic receiver that looks just like C.J. Nixon and wears the same number he did last year.
Maybe in the science department at Swazoo, they have a cloning machine something. I don't know.
Otherwise, he was out there for the out.
Well, good. He's a talent, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I was kind of disappointed to hear that he probably wouldn't play. So I'm glad he's going to play.
Goodness.
I'm excited. So, Weatherford, they came in right outside the top 10. Looking down, you got usual suspects in 3A, Lincoln Christian 1, Heritage Hall 2. 2A, not much interest there.
Yeah. There you go. Andy scored and was their impact player. That's right. He went up, just like you'd expect, down the near sideline from the camera angle I was watching, threw him up a jump ball. He caught it and got in the end zone.
Yeah.
And then he tipped one for an interception that would have been a pick six, too, from defensive end. So it turns out he's still fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Class A, let's see. Mangum comes in at number 10.
What about Hinton?
Hinton's at 7.
See, I knew that Merritt's first opponent, Hinton, I think they were 6 or 7 in the Vite poll as well. So I knew that was going to be a tough tough ask right out of the gate for Coach Richardson's squad.
Going to eight man, Laverne one in Class B, followed by Shattuck. Coach Jacob Schneeberger in the Shattuck Indians at number two, ceiling three. Kind of local there. Class C.
Whoa.
What's up?
I'm sorry.
No. Class C, no one really local in the top five. Winoka comes in tied at third. When's the last time the Railroaders have been pretty good at football?
Probably back when Debbie Sizemore went to high school there.
And Mountain View just outside, so they'd be like six. No, they had a great season last year. I bet they lost. I think they lost a lot of seniors, but they're still right there. So, AP top 10, they do that. And I was kind of, when you asked that question earlier, I thought that I usually don't see one until after.
See, I was wondering
after
about that
they
too.
Play.
Yeah,
but this is the earliest I've ever seen it. Bravo!
Everybody's in the preseason biz.
Love it. For those wondering, 6A Division One, Jinx One, Bixby Two.
Disagree.
Totally do too. Division 2, Stillwater 1, Booker T. Washington 2, Choctaw 3. I actually have Choctaw as my winner of that division.
Did
that
you
state,
hear, did you happen to class. Hear Bill Haston? You know Bill Haston of the Tulsa World?
I know of him.
He was yes. on the Sports Animal the other day with Mark Rogers talking about high school football a little bit.
Okay.
You know what was maybe one of the when you go back, say, 30 years from now or 40 years from now, one of the most important moments in Oklahoma high school football history, at least with the way it's going right now?
30 years from now?
With what's happening now.
About mid-90s. I don't know what.
Do you know, did you know, that the Presleys, there's another one that's a freshman, by the way, and Brennan, the oldest Presley, says he's going to be the best of all. The Presleys went to elementary and middle school at Booker T.
Okay.
And they made a family decision. They did not like the way that Brennan was being used in the offense at Booker T. And they transferred to Bixby. And oh, how the titles have flowed since. So think about that. They're going to have one on the field 10 straight years.
That is amazing.
Presley. Anyhow, I thought that was an interesting story. And just that to think about, you know, think about where Booker T is on the all-time state title list. They're top 10.
Yeah. They could have been the Bixby right now.
That's what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden you look up and, oh, there's Booker T right behind Clinton Jinks and Carl Albert and Ada.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's really kind of a crazy story. All right, let's look at these tiers. So ESPN put 24 tiers of college football teams for this season only. It's not for as a program. It's not for, you know, all time or anything like that. It's just for this season only. Here are the tiers. And it looks like it kind of flows with the rankings a little bit. It's not exactly a ranking, but it kind of flows
with the opinion of who we think are the best teams.
That's right.
Who are right there close to it, but not quite there. Yeah.
Okay, so the clear favorites, there's three teams in that, and I think we all agree that they all should be. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. Would you add somebody to that list?
No.
Wouldn't either.
No, not for this season.
No, I think the rest of them have something to prove. To be able to get into that crew, and quite frankly, something to prove to not get blown out by one of those four or one of those three possibly in the first round of the playoffs. Somebody's got to be the sacrificial lamb to the LSU. Turned out a couple years ago is OU. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just clearly on a different level. It feels like that going into this year, that the 2-3 game is going to be awesome. The 1-4 game. Four needs to be better than we think.
Right.
So that's what I would agree. The next tier is called How Quickly We Forget. And the kind of the quote they're using, I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me.
You're reading this article. You realize where all these quotes are coming from.
No, I didn't look at it.
It's The Simpsons, man.
Oh, it is. Okay, I totally missed that. This has
like the first one. The quote was, "Sorry, Mom. The mob has spoken." That's from Monorail.
I didn't even see that the first time.
Okay,
I totally skipped over that.
These are older Simpson quotes, which aren't the best Simpsons. But go ahead, tier two.
I'm clearly not as up on the Simpsons. I used to wear Bart Simpson shirts. What does it say? What was his
thing? Don't have a cow, man.
Don't have a cow, man. Anyhow.
Eat my shorts.
That's what I was trying to think of. But I was afraid I was going to say something worse. So I was kind of waiting. Yeah, eat my shorts. The four teams, Clemson, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, really? Michigan?
Oh, yeah. See, I was going to go there.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to Michigan, but they just made the playoffs for the first time a year ago. You're talking about Clemson that's been in four or five of these things and won two of them. The Sooners have been in four. Notre Dame's been in two or three. And Michigan sneaks into the playoff a year ago, and now we're including him in on, hey, we forgot you were good. Hell, did we ever know? It's hard to forget something you don't know.
It's like they finally got the jacket. Hey, come on in, bud. You're finally back with us. One of us. All right. Hey.
Like Mark Ingram getting in the Heisman house as an Alabama guy for the first. Hey, welcome in.
And then as soon as they lose, we need to get that jacket back.
Yeah, Jim.
I need your key card, and you got to get out of here.
Yeah, Jim.
That's what's going to happen.
We're going to need your khakis. So, I mean, maybe for this year, and that's the thing.
They're going to move them down the basement like Milton.
Jim's still here. He's not getting paid anymore, but he's still here. So I guess maybe for this season, that's kind of the place they have to be when you start looking at these other tiers. They have to be with the bluer bloods because, I mean, they've got more wins than anybody in the history of the game. But, yeah, okay, whatever.
Who would you replace them with or anybody?
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Nobody else belongs. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, just the way this is presented – it's like, hey, these teams have been in the playoff a lot. They weren't last year. Now they're back. Or, you know, type of thing. I mean, Clemson made six straight until last year. The Sooners had four straight, and then the last two, they weren't there. Notre Dame's been kind of every other type team. And then Michigan makes it once, and it's like, hey, we forgot you were good. No, he really didn't have been. All right, the Rising Stars. NC State, Texas A&M, Utah, and Wisconsin.
Okay, I can kind of get on board with A&M because of the recruiting, and the key here is rising stars. Doesn't mean they're there now. You know, we've always been kind of in agreement that next year might be a year they could really take off if that recruiting, if their recruiting rankings are pretty accurate. I'm high on Utah. Wisconsin, I got in the Big Ten championship game, so I have to be high on them. NC State, though, I'm still kind of – I kind of had them as the third best team in the ACC. If I'm going to stick with my prediction of Clemson and Miami in the title game.
They just got tons of guys back.
They do.
They beat Clemson last year. They got Devin Leary, the quarterback. I get they're kind of one of those – they're the hot surprise team.
There should be a tier for, like, hot teams right now, but probably will fade after this year.
I think that's kind of what this, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, A&M, it's hard to find a spot for them because they can't be in the one above because they haven't done anything. And that's part of this. None of these teams have been able to make it to anything as far as the playoff goes. And then maybe a little play on words with Rising Stars, with Cam Rising being the quarterback at Utah. They're back, maybe. Miami, Texas, and USC. No problem with any of those being there because they're going to be the ones. The only one, and it's sad as hell to me growing up when I did, watching college football when I did. You know what? It's sad to me, and they do not belong here, but you know who needs to belong here?
Florida State?
No.
No.
Who? I'm not sad about that.
Who?
Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which for me, they do, since I had them in the Big Ten title game. Boy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell Jim that on the air after he was going after Nebraska yesterday.
I missed that. Yeah, but
there was just and I sent him a text, and it's in the Phil Steele magazine. Nebraska was 1-8 in Big Ten games last year, and they outgained their opponents by an average of 65 yards every game. That is almost impossible to do. Now, you can say, well, they're losers and can't figure out a way to win. Okay, that could be true. Or you could say they can't keep losing every game like that, and things are going to turn around. Go back to the mean, regress to the mean there, which means Nebraska would win 7 or 8 games. But they can't be there. So those three, that's just going to be where it's at. The kind of basketball schools. Baylor, Houston, Kentucky. Hey, Big Blue. Michigan State, Oklahoma State, Wake Forest. Have we gone too far for, in your mind, past teams? Is this the last spot where you could go, yeah, it's not inconceivable one of those teams can make the playoff?
Yeah, this is it. After this, I don't think any team we're going to mention after Tier 5 here can make the playoffs. This is the last spot. Because, again, Oklahoma State, they can shore up some questions on the defense. Sanders can take care of the football. The offense should be fine. They can find themselves with a single loss, Big 12 title in that conversation. Baylor, same thing.
Yep. Those are the two. And, of course, Kentucky, since I'm on the Kentucky train.
Yeah, I'm not going to put Houston there. I think that
Houston, Houston, man, what is their schedule? Let's look at their schedule. I've got it. I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay.
Could they be Cincinnati of a year ago? Or is this year one? Of course, next year they'll be in the Big 12, so it doesn't. Of course, they can from the Big 12. Here's going to be your problem for Houston.
Their schedule is terrible. Yeah. Well, they
play two Big 12 schools. They probably beat them both.
They play two Big 12 schools the first two of the 3 weeks of the season. That's funny.
They've got Texas, San Antonio. I mean, their big out of conference games are at Tech, and then Kansas.
Both winnable.
Yeah,
obviously.
They're going to need. You know who they're going to need to be good? They're going to need SMU to be good.
Maybe Memphis. Because those are both on the road.
Yeah. Maybe a resurgent South Florida. You know, every now and then it seems like they pop up and are pretty good.
Right.
Just out of nowhere. Yeah, boy, that schedule. It helped them if Tech was good.
What didn't help them is the way Cincinnati looked last year in the playoff.
Yeah, but shoot.
Everyone's like,
they look better than Michigan did against Georgia.
That's true. But that was a no-win situation for the Group of Five in Cincinnati.
Yeah, having to play Bama.
No matter if you lost by 3 or by 30, you're going to, well, see, that's why you don't belong here. You lost.
Yeah, but they,
if you were another Power Five school playing, you know, and you lose by 3, well, that team would have beat Alabama, you know, you're Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Sorry, Group of Five, this is why we don't want you here.
They acquitted themselves pretty good. And I think the NFL draft even showed that later on with the guys that win. But that's the problem. It's kind of a shooting star as opposed to a reload situation. I'm going to skip anybody in 6. It's the under-the-radar gems. And for the same reasons that Houston, you know, maybe BYU, here's the deal. For the opposite reasons of Houston, BYU absolutely can make the playoff. With the schedule they play.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Look who they play. They've got Baylor at home, who's preseason number 10. The next week they go out to Eugene, to Autzen Stadium, and play number 11, Oregon. And then a few weeks later, OU Texas week, Alabama Texas A&M week, sneaky awesome under-the-radar game, BYU at number 5 preseason Notre Dame. Then they host Arkansas after that. They've got 4 teams in the top 20 on their schedule. That is a schedule that gets you to the playoff as a Group of 5 team.
A little bit later, at Boise.
And at Stanford, Stanford turns out any good.
Yeah, finish the year at Stanford.
That's a heck of a schedule. Heck of a schedule. Interesting name was just on the text line. And they are in the same tier as BYU, and that's Arkansas. Here's the deal. I think Arkansas is going to be pretty good. I think Arkansas is going to be pretty good. And they have no chance in hell of making the playoff. Why? Schedule.
Again, schedule. It's kind of like opposite BYU.
It's like opposite of Houston.
You like BYU because of the schedule, and if they can navigate that, man, they might be a solid team. You got Arkansas, yeah, they'd be a solid team, but holy moly, you got the schedule to tell them. You open with Cincinnati. We just mentioned Cincinnati.
Right.
You go to A&M the last weekend of September.
And turn around with Alabama coming.
Turn around and host Alabama.
You got at BYU.
Mentioned BYU. At Auburn. Who knows what they're going to be like. Hosting LSU.
Ole Miss. It's just a hard schedule. It's a very hard schedule.
Sorry about your luck. Arkansas might be a good team. First good team in about...
No, they were good last year.
They were good last year. Might be better this year, but the schedule might not reflect that.
That's right. Yeah, I think this is going to be that classic, 8-4, 9-3. But, man, they were way better than that. But look who beat them, type teams.
Yeah.
And, KJ Jefferson is a big old dude. We'll see if he's actually a quarterback. I mean, lots of preseason hype around that guy for not a lot of good stuff we've seen so far. But, yeah, if he can put it all together. Arkansas, you look at they went on the road to Alabama and had every chance to win that game a year ago. But I would skip those just because I don't think BYU can manage that schedule or Arkansas. But now on number 7, where it says wilder things can happen, we better take a break. I just now noticed the clock.
Yeah, it's kind of flown by.
Let's come back to wilder things can happen because there's a couple of teams on here for various reasons that I think you can make a case and not sound like you need to be put in the nut house. Paul Jones Drug Tuesday right here on the Skinny on Sports. We'll come back to wrap it up next.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients with their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery. It's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday, right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Paul Jones Drug, man, they got that convenience packaging, which is where they individually package your daily meds, so you just rip them open, take them, throw the trash away. You don't have to worry about putting the right amount of pills in the right slot. Durable medical equipment, but it's not just that. They've also got all kinds of gifts and awesome greeting cards. Most insurances are accepted. 809 North Main, they're at here in Elk City. It's Paul Jones Drug, Rodney Skinner and the gang. Care you can trust right here in Elk City. Also, don't forget, signups have been opened. Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em, the college Pick'em contest. It's 10 games against the spread every week for the entirety of the season. We will have a prize at the end to the winner. So go get signed up, ESPN's website, or I have a link on the Skinny on Sports Facebook page as well. We had around 80 last year, so let's go. Let's get 100. Let's get 100 people playing there on the Skinny on Sports College Pick'em. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is the group's message and the motto. Western Oklahoma Realty. All right. Back to the Tier 7. Oh.
Well, Billy. Go find somebody more technically inclined and have them do it for you. I've tried to sign up, and I went Latin.
Give me a call after the show, and I'll tell
you
how to do it.
Come on, Billy.
I gotta tread lightly with my words. I'm going to stop. Or I get an entire town mad at me again.
It took me 2 minutes to click and sign up.
I set the thing up in 30 seconds. It wasn't rocket science.
Click, click, click. I even made my picks already.
You know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
Billy's incompetence with the computer. It's like my dad came back alive. He's like, hey, I can't get this thing to work on my phone. Really? You've done it every year. Why can't you get it to work? It said my email was already in use.
I don't. We got 2 minutes.
We'll have to help Billy.
We'll have to reserve a first part of the show tomorrow to rip on Billy.
No, we've done a pretty good job of it right now. Well, hey, we don't want to get him too mad. He might have our inside intel for high school football.
Oh yeah,
we gotta keep him.
He's our
we'll help
reliable
you,
source.
We'll help you, buddy. Don't worry about
it. Well, but remember, this comes at a cost, so we need some info.
Yeah, we're the ones having to do stuff here.
Yeah.
All right. Wilder things have happened. It's tier 7.
For college football teams this season.
Do we think they actually have a chance to make the playoff?
I think Oregon may have a chance.
I would choose the groups in here, Oregon, or the teams, Oregon, Minnesota, Mississippi State, Purdue, and Tennessee.
Well, again, Oregon.
Oregon for sure.
We lean on schedules a lot. And Oregon for sure because of the Pac-12.
And they play Georgia off the bat.
And there's that, yes.
Beat Georgia. Then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Tennessee gets to play in the much weaker, at least right now, SEC East.
Yes.
Now, their game, they always have Bama on their schedule.
Right.
Which is kind of a tough break for them, but that's just the way rivalries work. But they go to Pitt, which is a scary, tough game early. But the rest of their really tough games outside of one are really kind of all at home. Florida's in Knoxville. Alabama's in Knoxville. Big Blue's in Knoxville. And they have to go between the hedges to Georgia. But depending on what happens, you sneak into – I mean, you're way better than people think. You sneak into that SEC title game, upset Bama, maybe avenge your only loss type of thing. It's not that crazy. I mean, you know, it's not out of the realm, I guess. Probably a bridge too far, but not out of the realm of possibility. I would lean toward Oregon more in that tier, but –
Picking two of them, I'd pick Oregon and Tennessee.
Yeah. Oregon's probably because they get Georgia and Atlanta, I guess, instead of in Athens, but same difference.
Yeah.
Do you put anybody on tier 8?
Not
Auburn,
at all.
Florida, no. LSU?
No.
Tier 9? I think we're getting down too far at this point, for sure.
Nah.
You can't even – you can't even make a lucid argument. I mean, you might be able to for, say, Florida.
We could start at 6. And we'd have a better argument of who can make a New Year's Six Bowl than a playoff.
Probably so.
You know, we're kind of blurring that line right there between playoff teams, New Year's Six teams, and then just regular bowl teams. We get lower.
Yeah, you get down here too far, like you're saying, at 6, 7, 8 tier, those tiers. You're really talking about teams with a couple losses sneaking into their title games. And now, you know, some of those you have to win to make a play, to make a New Year's Six Bowl. Some you can get an at-large bid to make a New Year's Six Bowl.
Right.
But, I think you're right there. The playoff, it feels like, you know, Oregon, not crazy. Tennessee, pretty crazy, if we're really thinking about it, with the schedule they play. That'd be pretty like, oh, my gosh, can you believe that just happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Right.
So, anyway, I thought that was an interesting way to put together a list.
I hate to end on a bummer. But Gary Gaines, you know who Gary Gaines is?
Oh, I know.
Did you see
that? Yes, Gary Gaines passed away.
From Permian,
mm-hmm.
Texas fame, Friday Night Lights coach. 73. Darn.
It's interesting because I assume he would always, when I saw his picture, it kind of took me aback because I just assumed that he was going to look like Billy Bob Thornton. Turns out he doesn't really. All right, that'll do it for a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We will have to go through that quarterback thing. Give you a little bit more time to think.
Yeah, yeah.
How to build the perfect quarterback by using that list there.
I have to look at that list. I haven't seen it. Yeah, I looked it up.
Everybody have a great Tuesday. We will be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.